Welcome to another teaching from City Life Church Wollongong. For more information about our church, log on to www.citylife.org.au.
Amen. God is so good, isn't he? All right, so I'm up now for the last in the Surviving the Silly Season series. Ron's given us a lot of wisdom over the last couple of weeks, hasn't he? I'm sure you agree that there's been some very practical, awesome things that he's been sharing with us. But, you know, as I was thinking about it, I thought, you know, I don't know about you, but in my head, I have this feeling about Christmas, which I think is a memory as a child of, I guess there's a sense of joy and wonder and anticipation and a sense of peace. Now, this memory of Christmas that I hold is quite different to the adult reality of Christmas. The adult reality of Christmas for me, I don't know about for you, maybe you hold it better than I do, but the adult memory of the reality of Christmas for me is a massive to-do list, huge amounts of shopping, a lot of planning of catering, a lot of organising and a lot of running around like a mad chook. Is anybody else kind of, yeah. And this, I don't know, this beautiful image and feeling that I have. And to be honest, I guess, you know, somebody, when I was a kid, somebody else was doing all the mad running around and I just got to be the recipient of all of that. But somehow Christmas turns into just a busy to-do list. And like many of you, I'm flat out at work right up until the very, very last minute. I should be on holidays, Josh, but I've got to go back in tomorrow because it's not all done yet. And, you know, it's just this kind of crazy, crazy busyness. And what happens is it kind of like races along and then you land with a thump and you go, oh, here we are. It's Christmas. I think I got it all done, but there's hardly any time to appreciate it. And then it's all over and you go, oh, what happened? All right, move on. New year. Okay, forget it. Maybe next year we'll restore that beautiful feeling that got past the rush and the to-do list and everything else. Now, don't get me wrong, because I actually really enjoy it. I love the cooking. I even enjoy the shopping, to be honest. I like finding gifts that people are going to enjoy. I won't tell you about gifts that just came into our house over the last couple of days, because I sent my husband and my youngest daughter shopping the other day. Ron's family do this thing now that everybody who comes brings a gift and it goes into the middle and they play this game where you can either, you pick a gift out of the middle and then you either choose before you pick it up whether you're going to have that one or you can swap for somebody else who's already got one and got it opened. And so it's just kind of a bit of a game. And it's a fun thing to do when, you know, like it's just cousins and aunties and uncles and you don't quite know how many people and everybody just has to bring one gift. So this is a really cool idea. We have in our house, it's a Titanic. It's a little ship model of the Titanic that you can put loose leaf tea in to make a cup of tea. Some people are loving it. Some people are agreeing with me that this could be the biggest waste of time and money ever. Oh, there's a bag of tea that goes with it as well, which, you know, that's useful. But, you know, like it's just this, you know, all of this crazy stuff. And it's fun. It's really good. I love spending time with family. That is just so precious. And it's wonderful to have great food. You will hear me say any time of the year, the Christmas pudding is my favourite food. I love this time of year and everything that goes with it. But it does kind of crash on us, doesn't it? And because it crashes on us, and I'm preaching, what you're going to get today is kind of like a collection of Christmas thoughts that are around surviving the season and how we might go here. But, you know, somehow I think that even in the midst oh, whoops, today is Christmas Day, and then all of a sudden it's over. Somehow we do want to grab hold of that treasure of it, don't we? We do want to grab hold of that sense of really special feeling. And I don't know, somehow I want my heart and I want your hearts to actually flourish in the Christian season, not just get there and survive and go, oh, we made it, now we can relax, but to actually flourish in the middle of this so that we get the blessing of what it's all about. So I've just got a few thoughts here for you today. And the first one, and I don't know, maybe Joe, you could stand up and model your T-shirt for everybody. Just turn around. Okay. Celebrating Christmas. He's got the mask crossed out, so it's celebrating Christ. We know, we see it everywhere, don't we? Jesus is the reason for the season. And I don't know, I think number one point for surviving the silly season is actually taking time to remember who it is all about. Yeah? Yep. Actually remember who it is all about. In Isaiah chapter 9, there's this amazing prophecy. And it starts there in verse 2 and it says, the people who walk in darkness will see a great light. For those who live in a land of deep darkness, a light will shine. I don't know, but we live in a land of darkness, don't we? Around us, there's so much. There's so much that's evil and just so much that's sad. So much that's hard. And there's all of this darkness. But the people who live in darkness, the Word of God says, will see a great light. We'll see a great light. And further down in that chapter, verse 6, this scripture, which I'm sure you've heard before, it says, for a child is born to us, a son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. We celebrate Christmas because God sent his Son. He sent his Son, who is the light of the world, into our land of darkness. Yeah? So I just think, just for a couple of minutes, Jesus is Wonderful Counselor. Now, there's debate here on the translations, if you want the theological, on whether it's Wonderful, comma, Counselor, okay, or Wonderful Counselor. I don't care, right? Jesus, it's both are true. But Jesus is our Wonderful Counselor. He is the source of wisdom. In John 16, it says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, but will tell you what he has heard. He will tell you about the future. Proverbs chapter 2, tune your ears to wisdom and concentrate on understanding. And in verse 6, for the Lord grants wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. Jesus is Wonderful Counselor. Do you need wisdom in your life? You can get it this Christmas. You can get it each day because he is the Wonderful Counselor, yeah? And he is available to us. And at Christmas, we're reminded that this is part of who Jesus is, Wonderful Counselor to us, yeah? Jesus is Mighty God. He is able. I hope you never get sick of me quoting that scripture that says to you that he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think. He is the Mighty God. He is able in your situation, in your family, in your workplace, in your ministry area. He is able because he is Mighty God. He is not human flesh. He is not a frail human being who has good days and bad days. Do we understand that? No, he is Mighty God every day from morning until night. He is the God who is able. He is able to heal. He is able to bring provision. He brings life and light to us. Yeah? He is able to work in every situation. Jesus is Everlasting Father. Everlasting Father. He's the rock of our salvation. He endures forever and ever and ever. You know, I think I've said this to you before. And, you know, often when we think about God as Father, we have that image of the small child sitting on their father's knee. But, you know, God's really shown me a lot over the last couple of years. And I was watching Adrian just a little while ago do this very thing. He's walking around up the back with Caleb there now. But before, down here, what was he doing? Anybody notice? Liz might have. He's throwing Caleb up in the air and catching him. Because you know what fathers do? Fathers actually don't that often sit with a small child cuddled up on their knee. Fathers, Peter, I shudder to think what fathers teach their children to do. Fathers, like fathers turn into horses that run around the house. Fathers throw kids in the air. Yes, there's one actually throwing up over the back there, if you can see that now. Do you know what fathers do? Fathers allow their kids to stretch. To stretch out. You know what they do? They give them opportunity to go into the little bit scary while dad's actually keeping them perfectly safe, even if mum and everybody else around are having a minor freak out about what the father's doing. Yeah. Some of the fathers here, that's what fathers do. Fathers throw their kids in the air. Yeah? And you know, our everlasting Father, this Christmas, wants to push you to the limit of where he wants you to go. He wants you to take risks. But you know, even if it felt like you just got thrown in the air, he was right there. He was never going to let you drop. Yeah? Yeah? So as we think about our everlasting Father, let's just remember that fathers are the people that push their kids to the limits. As they get a bit older, sometimes they get cranky even about pushing their kids to the limits. But, you know, they are still looking for the highest endeavour from their children. And that's what our Heavenly Father is looking for from us. He wants to push us out, but he's going to keep us safe. He's not going to let us go and drop us, all right? He's not going to drop you, but he will push you out. He'll push you out into a sea of opportunity, which is going to take some risk and it's going to take some heart. But he will be there all the time. He will challenge you to your best, but he will make sure that the limits are safe there for you. That's our everlasting Father. Yeah? That's our everlasting Father. And Jesus is Prince of Peace. There is no need for us to be worried, afraid, angry, frustrated, anything, because he is the Prince of Peace. He came to bring peace on earth. You don't have to look very far to see the wars and the problems and the troubles. But what he did was he came to bring peace right into your heart, into whatever's happening in your life. Yeah? Jesus, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. I reckon as we approach Christmas and we come up to this Wednesday, we will do better in all of the rushing if we can just take a little window, maybe take a little bit of time every morning for the next couple of mornings this week and just appreciate who Jesus is and what he's done for us. Yeah? Yep. I think if we can remember the why of what we're running around for, then we'll do a whole lot more than just survive the silly season. We might actually enjoy it. Yeah? Yeah? Okay. Random thought number two. This is also something that I've shared with some of you at one stage during the year. Learn the lesson of Mary. God really spoke to me out of this passage of Scripture a couple of months ago, actually. And I want us to reflect on this remarkable woman today, and something that I think we can learn from her. So in Luke chapter 1, starting from verse 26. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favoured woman. The Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found favour with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." Mary asked the angel, "But how can this happen? I am a virgin." The angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but she's conceived a son and is now in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." Mary responded, "I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true." And then the angel left her. This is what I've begun to think about as the lesson of Mary. Here is this young woman, a young girl, who's about to take part in God's greatest visitation on earth, the greatest revelation of God that humanity has ever and will ever know, as Jesus came up among us. And there's some lessons. If we want to participate in God's plan and purpose on the earth, which is what Mary was doing, she was doing her bit, she was playing her part, then I think there are just four little things hidden in this scripture. And this, the first one is the angel came and he said to her, "Greetings, favoured woman." The first thing we need to know is, I am favoured. I am favoured. If we are participating in God's plan and purpose on the earth, then we need to know that. I am favoured. The second thing the angel said to her is, "The Lord is with you." I am favoured. The Lord is with me. Yeah? God is with me. Here is this young girl about to participate in something that will change the course of humanity. God's great revelation of his salvation to the earth. I am favoured. The Lord is with me. Yeah? God is with me. The third one is the angel says to her, she says, "How can all this happen?" And the angel says to her, "The Holy Spirit will come on you." That's number three. I am favoured. The Lord is with me. The Holy Spirit will come upon me. The Holy Spirit is what's going to enable me to achieve my plan and my purpose in God. Amen. And finally, the last one in there, Mary says, or the angel says, "Nothing is impossible for God." I am favoured. The Lord is with me. The Holy Spirit will come upon me. Nothing is impossible for God. You want to participate in God's plan and purpose on the earth? Then I would actually challenge you, start every day to confess these things out. I am favoured, yeah? The Lord is with me. The Holy Spirit will come upon me, for nothing is impossible for God. We need to walk, we need to take in a step of faith. This is the truth of how God deals with us, not just at Christmas, but every single day. And the way the angel came and made that revelation to Mary is exactly the revelation that God wants to bring into your life as just as his revelation of how he works with you. We should not mistake, much as we come to Christmas, you know, and we come to Christmas and we remember what Jesus did. We remember the baby in a manger. We read the scripture passages that we've heard over and over and over again that tell us about the birth of Jesus. We remember Christmas as we were little children. We remember our families. We remember loved ones who are not with us anymore. And that is treasured and precious as we look back over life, over history, over Christmases past. But wherever you are, whatever you're up to now, God's actually got a plan for your future. And Christmas is at least as much, if not more, about grabbing hold of the future that God's has for you. Yeah? Yep. One of the most well-known pastor in Australia, Brian Houston, says, exactly, the best is yet to come. Who's heard him say it over and over and over again? Do we actually believe it? You know, like sometimes I kind of thought, wow, you know, Brian, he's always saying the best is yet to come. Yeah, the best is yet to come, sure. Hang on, what if the best is yet to come? What if that's true? The best is yet to come. It's ahead of me, the very, very best. How am I going to engage that? I'm going to engage it by knowing those truths. It's not just a saying, I am favored. The Lord is with me. The Holy Spirit will come upon me. Nothing is impossible for God. And the best is yet to come. That's true. It really is true. And sometimes we think the best is behind us. And at Christmas, because we spend time reflecting and looking back, we can easily think that maybe the best was sometime before, or the pain of before sometimes overwhelms us. But the truth is, God's got a plan for your life. God's got a future for you, a future and a hope, a good plan and a good purpose. And this Christmas, we need to be looking forward into what God's going to do. Amen? Amen. Okay. Last random thought. Another scripture. The third thing I want to just talk to you is about responding in praise. Genuine, heartfelt praise. You think about all of those Christmas stories, and it seems to me that there were only two responses at the time to the birth of Jesus. People either became very threatened and, like Herod, killed every baby under the age of two to try and get rid of the problem, or they responded in praise. Shepherds praised, wise men praised, Mary praised, angels praised. Every single one of them, the response to the birth of Jesus and the revelation of Jesus was actually praise. You can hum a carol, you can listen to a CD, but I want to really challenge us this Christmas. Don't just be where others are praising. Don't just be where others are praising, but get a revelation of God that means you respond in praise yourself, and it rises up out of your hearts. Look at what happens to the shepherds. Luke chapter 2, starting at verse 8. That night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them. Don't be afraid, he said. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Saviour, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognise him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth lying in a manger. Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, glory to God in highest heaven and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased. When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in a manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished, but Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. It was just as the angel told them. So the shepherds are out on the hillside, And the angels come, the angels who know the truth, who have the revelation, come. And they're declaring the greatness of God, and they are praising and giving him glory. The shepherds are sitting there. They are amazed. They are stunned. They are overwhelmed. They probably thought it was amazing singing. Okay? But what was their response? They went to actually see what had happened for themselves. And when they did, they returned to the place where they were before, and they were praising and glorifying God in that position. Can I encourage you this Christmas? Get involved. Get involved in what God is doing. Get a revelation for yourself, not from somebody else, but get an absolute understanding for yourself on the greatness and the goodness of God. Don't just hang out in church with other people who know about it and have got a revelation about praising and about worshiping, but actually know and experience God for yourself so that you too will have the response of praise. Yeah? You see what they had to do? They had to go and see the truth of it for themselves. Can I encourage you? Go and see the truth. The revelation is there for you. The understanding of who God is, what he's able to do in your life is there if you will grab hold of it. And if you will grab hold of it in truth, then you as well will come back. You will return rejoicing and praising God for who he is and what he's done. Yeah? We've got 2 full days left. 3 if you count today. It's not very many. We used to have at home, in fact, I'm sure it's still in a cupboard somewhere. Many, many years ago, my mother gave us an Advent calendar when I think it was just Andrew and Luke were just little boys. And the first year she gave it was one that she'd made. It was actually not dissimilar to this. I hadn't thought about that before. Maybe that was a throwback, Andrew, when you picked it. It was sort of some sort of thing that was underlying there. It was a painting of a Christmas tree on a piece of fabric which Mum had made, and she had little bags. There were 25 little bags, and the first year she gave it to us, there were gifts in the little bags, and they were for Andrew and Luke, who were just babies, you know, little boys then, and there was a present, and they had to learn that not every day was their day for a gift because it might be a day when their brother got one. And then over the years, for a number of years, we kept that tradition going. And I put all kinds of things in that Advent calendar. Some years there were little presents for everybody. One year we painted, we had pine cones off a little tree in one of the houses we lived in. And we spray painted them all gold, and we put a Bible verse and we added them as Christmas tree decorations. We used it in all kinds of different ways. Haven't dragged it out for the last few years. Too much rush. Maybe next year. But, you know, we've got three days left, you know, and those Advent calendars, and maybe you've got one at home that's got chocolates in it, or I saw a gorgeous one in Maya that had little drawers that you could pull out. There's some beautiful Advent calendars out there that make you think of something for every one of the 25 days. We've got 3 days left. Why don't we do our own little mini Advent 3-day calendar, yeah, and take time over the next few days to really genuinely prepare our hearts to celebrate Christmas, to celebrate God came to earth. Yeah? We've got 2 full days and just the rest of the day to really genuinely prepare our hearts for this. And, you know, I think then the silly season won't be the silly season anymore. What it'll be is just this treasure trove of the goodness and greatness of God. It'll be overflowing with thankfulness for things that he's done in the past and just brimming with opportunities of what he's able to do in the future, what amazing places he's going to do for us, what phenomenal things he can work out in our lives. And our hearts will just be filled with praise because we've grabbed hold of the greatness and goodness of God for ourselves. Amen? Amen. Why don't we stand together? Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, we want to thank you for your greatness and your goodness towards us. We want to thank you for possibilities into the future. We want to thank you for the revelation of your word, which is so dear to us, so grabs hold of our heart, Lord God. Lord, the thing that we can stand on in our everyday life. And as we come to the end of this silly season and we look forward to Christmas Day, we don't want it to be silly anymore, God. We want to take the time just to grab hold of your greatness and your goodness, to remember who you are and what you've done for us, and to allow our minds to dream and our faith to rise up, Lord God, for the future and for what you want to do in each and every one of our hearts and lives, what you want to do in our church, in our families, across the nations of the earth, Lord God, what you want to do in our city. We want to look forward with expectation to what it means that Jesus came, God with us, never alone, because you are with us every day. And it's our job, it's our responsibility to make your name known, to make it great in our family, in our city, across the nations of the earth. We want to grab hold of this privilege that you've given us, God. Help us just to take this time and to genuinely prepare our hearts for the future that's represented in Christmas, Lord God. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. You know, and perhaps you're here today and you don't yet have a relationship with God, or you've wandered right away from that and it's not meaningful to you in the way that it was in the past, maybe. And I just want to say to you that today is the day. Today's your opportunity, because his mercies are new every morning. He has a plan for you. He has a future and a hope for your life. He has a good purpose and he wants to take you forward in your life. Yeah? Why don't you just, you don't have to put your hand up, but I'm just going to pray for any person here today that wants just to renew their commitment to God, to put their faith and trust in him for the first time maybe. And perhaps you would pray with me. Father God, I thank you for your love for me. Come into my heart. And I will follow you. We thank you, Lord. If that's you today, then we've got things that we'd like you to read. We've got a booklet for you. We don't want you to do this journey on your own. It's a journey that is thankful for what God's done. But more than anything else, you know, it's a journey about faith into the future and where God's taking each and every one of us. Merry Christmas, everybody.
We hope you enjoyed listening to this teaching from City Life Church. And why not join us on a Sunday? We hold multiple services around the Illawarra. For more information, go to www.citylife.org.au.